have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. One of God's basic ways to provide for our needs is through work, an occupation through which we earn a living so that we are able to provide for ourselves and our families. Still, many don't make it a priority to get work and are comfortable with unemployment or simply working part-time to get by, supplemented by other government financial support. In my current position, or actually in a former position, I was often asked to attend unemployment hearings for people that have left the company. It saddened me when I would hear from supervisors that the employee was speaking openly about preferring unemployment over working. It is this mindset that contributes to the debt crisis that our country faces today. Unemployment compensation is intended for those that truly have a desire and are actively seeking employment. When people abuse this, it costs all of us money and ultimately threatens the economy as a whole because taxes are imposed to cover those expenses. Higher taxes lowers the resources that companies have available to employ other people. This becomes a vicious circle because nobody wins. We can no longer afford to finance those who choose not to work because of laziness. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, we are told, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. God does expect us to work to provide for ourselves and our families. Yet some of us are not willing to work hard to maintain a job. Some quit jobs without a prospect for another job, and others become prideful about the type of work that they're willing to do. I know someone who once told me that they wouldn't scrub floors or do fries. I immediately told them I will do whatever I need to do to make sure I can take care of my responsibilities. This person had become comfortable living off the hard work of others. Of course, there are times that we find ourselves unemployed that is to no fault of our own. Companies have downsized, they've redefined positions and effectively eliminated many jobs. When we are faced with that challenge, treat each day as if you are still working. Start your day by continuing to get up early to visit job prospects, complete online searches, and network with others that may be able to help you. Speak with your pastor, former coworkers, neighbors, and friends. You never know where your next position may be, but God will help you get you there if you are diligent in your pursuit. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's Gospel News. Gospel singer and songwriter Damon Little began his singing ministry at the age of 5. He and his brothers formed a family group. His first studio recording was with his uncle, the great Clarence Fountain of the 5 Blind Boys of Alabama. Born in Baltimore, Maryland, Damon Little spent a portion of his childhood years in Pensacola, Florida. Damon Little's music ministry has taken him to Mexico, Jamaica, Dominican Republic, the Bahamas, the Cayman Islands, and many other places, as well as him being featured on TV One, BET, TVN, and The Word Network. Damon Little signed with Houston, Texas label Worldwide Gospel in 2000 and began producing a string of gospel chart hits, including the title track from his album, You Can't Straddle the Fence. Long As I Got Shoes and Do Right, How You Gonna Do Right with a Do Wrong Mind. Patrick Dwayne Dobson, born August 24, 1978. He began his singing career in 2012 with the release of the song Open the Heavens. This album was his Billboard release. The song Keep Me was placed on the Wild Gospel 2013 project. Open Heavens, released on May 1st. This was his breakthrough release on the Gospel Albums charts at number 23, the Heat Seeker Albums at number 46, and the song Keep Me is also placed at number 7 on the Hot Gospel Songs charts. In July of 2019, he became the Associate Pastor of the Worship of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church in Dallas, Texas, under Pastor and Founder Tony Evans. Is it true that your race plays a role in your health challenges, that you could possibly be prone to certain illnesses and you're likely to die from them? Well, cultural, economic, and social factors can also influence health and health outcomes. For African Americans, the good news is that we're living longer as a group. During the first 15 years of the century, the death rate among African Americans declined by 25%. Here's a look at the top 8 health concerns for African Americans. Number 8, asthma is more prevalent among Black adults and children. African Americans with asthma are more likely to visit the emergency room and be admitted to the hospital. Number 7, chronic liver disease. 6, cancer. Number 5, stroke is another condition that intertwines with heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity. Number 4, diabetes. Did you know that diabetes is 60% more common among African Americans compared to other groups? We are also more likely to have serious complications from it, including end-stage kidney disease and limb amputation. Number 3, obesity. In the United States, African Americans have the highest rate of being overweight or obese. Among Black adults, 63% of men and 77% of women are either overweight or obese. This extra weight contributes to the risk factors of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes. And all these conditions increase the likelihood of heart disease. Number 2, high blood pressure. High blood pressure is a risk factor for heart disease. High blood pressure tends to develop earlier, be more severe, and is less likely to be controlled in African Americans. Number 1 is heart disease. It remains the number one killer of all Americans, so it's not surprising that it's the leading cause of death in African Americans. However, African Americans are 20% more likely to die from heart disease compared to other groups. Knowing your risk of these conditions can help you to make positive changes to take control of your health. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Jonathan Nelson, Manifest. Number 9, Mr. Talk Box featuring J-Ma and Little Byron, Never Leave You. 8, Melvin Crispell III, Wonderful Is Your Name. Number 7, P.J. Morton featuring J-Ma with Repay You. Number 6, Jermaine Dolley, I'll Go. 5, Todd Delaney, Revelation 4. 4, Jason Nelson, Residue. 3, Damon Little, Stand Up. Number 2, Kiara Sheard featuring Karen Clark Sheard, Something Has to Break. Number 1, now for 3 weeks, comes from Tamela Mann with Help Me. Well, that's your top 10 gospel songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find all my outlets on my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
And as always, you can hear my friend, Nina Taylor, along with my beautiful, beautiful, beautiful wife, First Lady Sharon Richard. And by way of announcement, before I bring on this wonderful panel that I have tonight, Lady Sharon Richard will be preaching her initial sermon on this coming Sunday at 12 noon. We invite you to come join us on our Zoom feed. You can find it on our Facebook pages and all our social media pages, or you can come onto our prayer line, which is 701-801-9842, and hear this powerful woman of God as the Lord ministers through her to each and every one of you. Well, good evening to where who you are. I'm messing my words up. Good evening to you, and also to you. I'm Pastor Ernest E. Richard, Jr., Senior Pastor of Power to Stand Outreach Ministries. And this is another day that the Lord made, a day we've chosen to rejoice and to be glad, and I'm just excited. We're coming to you live, heading down South 95, making our way to the promised land. In this particular case, for me, it's that place called home. Nonetheless, we've got some work to do, so let me get to my panel guests, and I've always got to do it. And the reason why I do it is because without these individuals, the Pastor's Corner would not be what it is today. So let's start down in Augusta, Georgia, with the longest running co-host that I've had since this show started. I'm wondering, just want to figure out and find out if Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow Jr. made his way to the house. Are you here, sir? Might be on mute.
He's not here.
Oh, now I needed to know that. Okay, so let's go on up to New Haven, and let's find out if Apostle Vincent L. Smith is in the house. Not here again, Sister Kimmy Gam?
Nope. I clap when they're here, so you'll know. That's the sign that they're here.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, let's move forward. We've got others here, I believe. Let's find out if Pastor Anna Henderson is here.
Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusted in him. I am so glad to be on tonight, in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. How about Minister Paula Henderson out of Atlanta, Georgia? Are you with us tonight? Okay. Doesn't seem like she's with us. And, of course, I saved the best for last. She is the producer of the show, my sister from another mother, and always, always you can catch her on her Moment with Kimmy Robinson on Instagram and other social media. Here is Dr. Kimmy Robinson. How are you, my sister?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I am so trying to make things happen for me today. I'm just excited. I'm kind of hoping that one of the gentlemen would be with me, and maybe they'll join us later, but we're not going to wait because this train has got to pull out. Whether we stay an hour or we go the whole hour and a half, whatever the case may be, we're going to do what we need to do. Now I'm going to need some assistance from the both of you. Sister Kimmy Kim, can you get me 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10? And if you have an amplified version, I would greatly appreciate it. And then Pastor Henderson, I need you to pray us in so that we could set sail.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you and magnify you. We thank you, Lord, how you blessed us all day long. You brought us to this moment once again, and we say thank you. Lord, we ask, oh God, as you go forth on tonight, Father God, that something will be said, Father God, that will encourage the people, that will lift your people up, that will cause the people, hallelujah, be encouraged to turn towards you, to trust you. Because you are a way maker, you are a healer, you are a miracle worker. You are our salvation. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to say something on tonight, Father God, to lift your name up and to glorify your word. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. All right, Dr. Robinson, I believe it's 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Verses 9 and 10, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture.
Okay. And it reads, give me that, the verse again, because I did the amplifier and
chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, verses 9
right.
and 10. It should say, and Jabez
okay,
is more honorable.
Right. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, but his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would indeed bless me and enlarge my border property, and that your hand would be with me, and you will keep me from evil so that it does not hurt me. And God granted his request. Blessed to the hearers, the readers, and his doers.
That's the Most High Word. Amen. We started last week, and I want to welcome those of you who are listening by way of radio and or social media, if you happen to be. We started talking about something called You Ask For It. And the reason why we started talking about this, we're living in a day and age where folk want the blessing, but they don't quite seem to want the blessor as much as they ought to. And not recognizing by having the blessor, you automatically qualify and receive the blessing. Now, we're studying a man by the name of Jabez, who some may have believed that he was a shepherd of some sort. And this young man did not see the best of days in his earlier going in life, as we found out in the reading there, that his mother named him Jabez because she bore him in pain. Is it possible that mama might have had an easy birth with the other brothers and or sisters, if he had any? But in this one coming out, there was something different about him. There was something different about his birth process. There was something about him that stood out. Now, ladies, I'm going to need you to keep your mics open. Do not mute your mics. Open your mics, because I want to hit this hot, fast, quick, and in a hurry. I was having a conversation with Apostle Smith earlier today, and he touched on the point of, you know, why did Jabez's mother name him Jabez? Why did she name him pain or name him hurt? Or why did she, in essence, say, you hurt me? Now, I'm going to give you guys a chance to answer, and then we're going to explore that. Then we're going to come back to where we left off last week. And, Dr. Robinson, if either Apostle Whitlow or Apostle Smith come in, please just interrupt and let me know they're here, okay? I appreciate it. So, let's start with you, Pastor Henderson. Give Dr. Kimmy a chance to watch the board to see who's coming up. And if there's anybody else that's on that we need to know about, please, please, please let me know. Nonetheless, let's go to this thing. Why do you think Jabez's mother named him Jabez? Pastor Henderson?
Well, we know that in time of old, they named their children based on pretty much what was going on, or their character, or something surrounding their circumstances that gave them their name. And so his name meant sorrow, or she brought him forth in pain. So his name meant pain or sorrow. I know that Bible doesn't indicate exactly what happened, why she would do that, because in our day and time, we would think that would probably be kind of cruel to do that. But if you know the history of the Jewish nation, that their names meant something. And so it doesn't tell us why pain, but perhaps, you know, she was in pain. We know naturally so that a woman, some women have more pain than others delivering a child. Sometimes when they have difficulty in birth, or they have some kind of defect going on in the body, sometimes it causes excruciating pain more than the normal delivery process. That could have been the situation, but the Bible doesn't indicate to us that that was. Or if it wasn't a physical pain, perhaps it could have been a situation where she was in a sorrowful state of being, which caused her to be in pain from another aspect. But just thinking about it, thinking about it from this aspect, that physically there could have been something going on in her body that would have caused her to have more pain than normal in the delivery process. And so she called him back. So that's just my take on that for now.
Well, that's beautiful. I appreciate you for putting that out there. Now, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, you've had two children yourself, and maybe you can help us to really understand the birthing process. I know today's times we do things a little bit different, but I'm trying to give our audience a perspective of what it is that Jabez's mother may have faced while she was giving birth to him. So can you come on and elaborate just a little bit more for us, please? I would greatly appreciate it. And I asked you to keep your mic open so we wouldn't have this space. Where are you at, Sister Kimmy Kim? You can't go to sleep tonight.
Oh, I wasn't asleep. I was talking. Oh, childbirth was a rewarding experience for me. Both girls came out quickly, but as I was preparing for their arrival, you go through centimeters dilated, and then after you get to that goal, you get the medication or you don't. So I took the medication, and, you know, honestly, I must admit that prior to me becoming pregnant with both of them, I was afraid to become pregnant because I heard so many, interesting stories.
Yes.
Like it's like painful and things like that. So I really believe it's depends on the person and how healthy they are and how they keep their body throughout the pregnancy. But it wasn't that bad to me. They kicked me so much when they were inside of me to the point where when they came out, it wasn't as painful. But I named Candace, her actual name is Candace, and there is a queen in Egypt in the Bible, so that's why I named her.
Uh-huh.
And Hannah, everybody knows Hannah. She was named after Hannah because I just knew something special would be about her caring for others, and she's just that way. And, of course, Candace do think she's a queen. So it's, like, funny how you name people, like, your children, and they become that way. So that's something right there, yeah.
Well, you
their
know, and I thank you for that.
They are.
I really thank you for helping us to understand better, because child birthing. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to put a spiritual twist on the reason why I asked both of you to say and share what you had. Here's a spiritual twist. The Holy Spirit will impregnate you with an idea. The Holy Spirit will get you pregnant with a concept that comes from God. And then at the proper time, God is looking for you to give birth to that which he has placed in you. Now, I need to ask both of you this question. Is there something in you that God has birthed or that God has impregnated you with that you have not brought forth as of yet? And if so, why hasn't it been brought forth yet? I mean, naturally speaking, most women go through a 36-week gestation period or a 9-month gestation period, whichever you want to use. And then at the fullness, at the full term, within days, they start, the water breaks and the contractions start until the place and point to where the body is now pushing the fetus out of the walls, out of the belly, and bringing that life to the face of this earth. So my question to both of you is, and pay careful attention when you answer, has God, through the Holy Spirit, impregnated you with an idea, with a concept, with something that could be a blessing to the body of Christ, and you haven't given birth to it yet? If so, why or what? So talk to me, ladies. Hello.
Well, as for me, I would say that he has given me many ideals, and one of them he has, and why I haven't came forth is because I want to really get things that he has for me where it needs to be so it can take care of itself. But one thing I can really reiterate, we don't have a lot of time. So I'm like, God, you say that you let us stay until we finish our assignments. And but I can truly say my main purpose, honestly, is to really go and commission and carry out his gospel to those who are in need and to for the sick and pray for healing and go see the sick. And then he births you ministry. So he allows your ministry to be part of the commission. And whatever that gift is, I really believe that if you trust God with it, he can do more things that you can ever imagine. And so I can truly say I am living on my, but yeah, there's some things I need to be doing. And I pray that you pray my strength in the Lord as I continue on, because we need each other. So that would be my response.
All right, Pastor Henderson.
Amen. When you were talking about giving birth, I was just thinking about the word of God and how the word of God is a seed. And so when that seed is sown, that it brings forth. And I can say that truly God, I believe, is dealing with the body of Christ at large, of sowing his word in our hearts to let us know that time is short, as Dr. Kim was saying, and that it's time to propel us into the birthing position to bring forth souls and the harvest of souls for the entire revival, for his coming. And so I believe that he is, the body of Christ is at a pivotal point now where God is dealing with his people to bring forth and to be in place and to fulfill the destiny that he originated for the church to be. And so I believe that we are experiencing birthing pains individually in our ministries, individually in our lives, and at large, the church at large is experiencing birthing pains because it's time to bring forth. And so I think that we are at a time now where we have to be able to go through and to be able to bring forth God's will in our life individually, so that when we come together collectively as a body, that God's ultimate will be accomplished. I believe that he's dealing with the heartstrings of his people individually, for we all have something specifically that God has called each and every one of us to do. For the mere fact that we're still here in the earth realm, that God has a purpose for us. And so being able to bring forth that, to continue to bring forth it in prayer and fasting, consecration, speaking to the Lord, allowing God's word to push us into the place of our destiny, so that we will be in the place at the right time, on our post, fulfilling the will of God, blowing the trumpet in Zion to awaken the people of God to the next dimension where God would have us to go. And we know that the Lord is soon to come. And I believe that we are in a pivotal point now where we are experiencing the birthing pains of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. Now, the question that I had put forward was, is God birthing something in you? And why hasn't it manifested? And I would share this with you. And the reason why I say this, and I'm going to share this testimony so you'll know exactly where I'm going with this. The Lord placed in my spirit way back in 1989 to start an evangelistic ministry. And I entitled that ministry, Power to Stand. That started back in 89 with a group of us going out into the city and evangelizing and sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we would come back to a meeting place and we would talk about the adventures or the struggles that we may have had for that given Saturday. Every Saturday we went out. And this went on for a number of years. Finally, we formulated Power to Stand, and I became the overseer for that particular ministry. Now, in God birthing that, I had no idea that some almost 30 years later, God was going to birth a church out of that ministry. So being impregnated by the Holy Spirit with the seed and thinking it's one thing, but it turns out that God had something altogether different in mind. It's kind of mind-blowing, because you would think, and I'm sorry, we as humans think like this. I don't know why we do, but we just do. We think we know exactly what it is God's going to do. We have no clue. It says it over there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I believe it is, as you have no idea how the bones knit together in the womb of mother, so neither do you understand the way of the Lord. And I'm sharing this with you today as we prepare to go into the next lesson plan, because we have to recognize and realize that God wants to birth the miraculous in somebody. I don't know who's listening to us today. I don't know who's paying attention to what we're talking about today, but God is willing and wanting and waiting to birth the miraculous in somebody. I don't know, it may be one of you two ladies. God's going to take you somewhere you've never been before, or whoever you are listening, you're going to find yourself, God prepping you or preparing you and sharing with you and teaching you and training you and putting you in a position where you understand the mission, so that you can go on a mission, meaning the mission that you're going on is the destiny or the one that leads to your destiny of that miracle, the birthing of bringing you forward and getting you ready and getting you prepared. I often use this analogy quite often, and you could find the biblical results of it or the biblical based answer to it in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 34. It says, 24, excuse me, it said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Now, I do recognize that it's talking about the birth, the walk, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that seed, that whole thing has an analogy to it that we need to pay attention to. So let's put this whole thing together as we move forward when we say, you asked for it. Here's what's got to happen when we talk about asking for it. Jabez said to the Lord, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory. He said, I want to be blessed beyond measure, and I want you to increase my responsibility. Getting back to that seed that I was just talking about in John chapter 12, verse 24, that seed, before it goes into the ground, you could see its shape, you could see its contour. There is nothing fantastic or fabulous about that seed. It just looks like plain old ordinary seed that doesn't look like anything great's going to happen with it. But the amazing thing is when that seed is planted in 3 to possibly as much as 4 inches of dirt, and maybe a little deeper, I don't know exactly, but when it's watered and when it's cared for, when we are watered with the word of life, when that seed is cared for, that seed which looked one way when it was buried is going to decompose and become something altogether different. It's not going to come up looking like it did when it first went into the ground. You see, if you take a kernel of wheat, you could see the teardrop type shape of that particular seed. But from that little seed, a stalk, roots will grow, and it'll take establishment in the ground, and it'll keep drinking the nutrients of the ground. But let me back up just a little bit. Because in order for that seed to be properly planted, it has to be planted in soil that makes sense. Here it is in a nutshell. If you know how they prepare soil for seed to be planted, that soil, first the rocks and the debris and anything that may cause the seed to have a hard time growing is removed, but then that soil is mixed with fertilizer or cow poop, which is what most farmers used back in the day. Some of you are going through some things in this life where God is removing the obstacles and taking away those things that you are just so fond of, those little treats that you like. You know, the Bible talks about laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset, talks about running the race with patience. God is allowing different individuals he's using in different situations and circumstances to take away away those hindrances that are stopping and blocking your progress for growth. But then you start to take root, you become established, and you find yourself in a situation or a circumstance where you're becoming more steadfast. You're becoming even more steady. You're becoming more stable. And as you become stable, that means you are decomposing. You are not looking like what you once were before you got saved, before you got sanctified, before you got Holy Ghost filled. You are now decomposing, and you are starting to change. This is what the scripture talks about when it says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the secret to this whole decomposition thing is to begin to renew your mind. The stinking thinking that you once did now is beginning to evaporate. Instead of being angry all the time, instead of being bitter all the time, instead of being malicious toward people, instead of being unloving, instead of being ungrateful, instead of acting like somebody owes you something or you have a sense of entitlement, you now find yourself in a loving position where you desire to be a blessing to somebody. You desire to help somebody. You've allowed the love of God, which has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, to move forward in you and to begin to manifest the characteristics of Almighty God. You find yourself coming to a place and point where the stalk begins to break through the ground. Now pay attention right here, because you asked for it. Growing is not easy. There are pains to growth. There are pains that come with growth. See, I wish I could sit here and tell you that you could just go ahead and be all that God called you to be, and you'd never have any problems, you'd never have any worries, you'd never have any concerns, you'd never have any heartaches, you'd never have any headaches. Unfortunately, my brother and my sister and whoever's listening to me, you are in a position where those adverse circumstances that you are going through are going to help shape, make, and mold you and push you toward your destiny and your purpose. Does anybody agree or disagree with what I just said?
I agree, and Apostle Smith is on.
Bless you, sir. How are you?
All is well. All is well.
All right. We started out talking about why Jabez's mother named him Pain. You want to jump in on that point?
That's really the crux of that particular scripture. Can you imagine living your life and every time somebody calls your name, they're calling you, you hurt me.
Uh-huh.
You gave me pain. You gave me sorrow. You did something to me that made me upset.
Mm.
I mean, this is the way his mother named him.
Uh-huh.
I've been easy to have a bowling ball.
Okay.
She said, I've had other children because they're all listed right there in that scripture.
Okay.
Said, but you gave me sorrow. You put me in pain until it took me into a depression. It made me almost wish I had never pushed you out.
My. Unwanted.
And what kind of mother says this to her child? But then when we look at today, when you see a mother walking down the street talking about, come here, you little bastard.
Uh-huh.
I'll knock the so-and-so out of you. Because you just like your daddy, stupid, ignorant. Oh, come on now. If you're right, you might as well get the child away for that.
My goodness. Destroy that character and assassinate character.
At least they could have been in a home where somebody would say, I love you. You know, you don't do it. You don't do it like that, Johnny. You don't do it like that, Susie. You know, this is the way you do it. You know,
uh-huh.
I don't want to see you do it like that again. Not all
so,
that extra, not all that extra wording and making somebody feel like they less than something. So she named him a name. Watch this now. According to her feelings.
Uh-huh.
She didn't give him a name that would minister to who he was going to be, where he was going to go, how he was supposed to turn out. Actually, when she named him Jabez, she gave him no direction for life.
There you go.
And this is what a lot of people do in life and in church and in ministry. When something wrong goes on that brings them pain, now they want to give everybody pain.
Okay.
You know,
now let me hold you right there for a minute. Any of you ladies want to further respond on what he's talking about here? I know we're going backwards just a little bit to cover, but I wanted you to hear what he had to say, because like I said, we had a small conversation earlier today about this very same thing, and this is how this came up. And I don't mind rehashing what's been shared, because sometimes we fail to understand why certain things happen the way they happen. Either of you ladies want to share or respond? Okay, come on. We said we're going to keep mics open and try to kill off dead air. Come on, ladies.
I was just going to say that even though – go ahead, Dr. Kennedy.
Oh, no. No, I'm waiting on you. Go ahead, my sister.
Okay. I was going to say that instead of what his name was called, something down on the inside of him needed to have to call on the Lord or to pray, to go into prayer. And you know, and that's powerful within itself. That even though your environment around you is negative, even though things have been said to you, you've been getting a name that's negative, it doesn't make that who you are. So you're not who people say that you are, because if they have a destiny for you, and the Bible let us know he has called us in him before the foundation of the world, that he has a plan for our life. And even though we may not see or know the plan has already been established. So no matter what people have called you, what names you've been called, no matter the negative surroundings that you grew up in, the low self-esteem, all of that, anything that could be negative in your environment, something down on the inside of that seed of God's word, something on the inside of you is there that God planted in you. And something had to have been in him because he began to pray. And not just pray to the Baal, not just pray to idol gods, but he began to pray to the God of Israel. He began to pray to the real, living, true, living God for hope to bring him out. And I think that's interesting. Because no matter how low you be in life, no matter where you come from, no matter what negative experiences you have had, no matter what people have said about you or try to predict your future or your destiny, God has a plan for your life, and he has a seed that's implanted in you that at the right time, it will cause that seed to come up and bring you out of that degradation state of being, to bring you into a place where you will call on him and he will bring you to the place that he would have you to be. Because I don't think it was by accident that he began to pray. I don't think it was by accident that he enlarged his territory, because all of this somewhere in the span of time had to be in his destiny. But it took him to call on the Lord. In spite of how he might have felt, in spite of how he might have felt being called pain and sorrow, it didn't stop him from calling and making a request to the Lord. And we have to be the same way, no matter how life has been for you, even in this pandemic. We cannot forget to call on the Lord, because he is a God that answers. And so that's so important.
All right. Go ahead.
That's right. Kim has something to say. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dr. Kim.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm good. Apostle Smith, I'm ready for you.
Lord help her.
Listen, watch this, though. It's going to sound like a question, but I'm getting ready to make a statement.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever had anything that pressed against you so hard until
uh-huh.
it drove you to prayer?
Yes. Yes.
The name Jabez was a negative statement to him every day that he lived. And so it drove him to understand, okay, everybody's calling me by this name my mother gave me, but it does not have a positive drive to it. So if I'm going to come out of this, if I'm going to be better, if I'm going to do something besides what she's been calling me all my life, I better get down and talk to God.
I agree. Now,
and
I want to say
the opening of his prayer let you know. He doesn't say anything about his name. The
Mm-mm.
opening of that prayer lets you know he was sick of being called what he had been called. So he doesn't mention his name. He goes right into asking God.
Let me hold you there for a minute, Apostle, because there is a valid point that both you and Pastor Henderson hit on this. There is a word, I guess it's about five letters long, I'm guessing at it, and I believe it is, and that five-letter word is called change. A lot of us may come across one way, but because God has placed the ability in each and every one of us to change, Jabez prayed to the Lord. First it says he was more honorable than his brothers. Now, I've tried to quickly look up honorable, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't get the fullness of the definition that I wanted. But in my spirit, honorable comes across as one who, I would say in so many words, walked with God. And when you're walking with God, you never want to walk in negativity. You always want to be in the positive. Him shifting and coming to God and asking God for change, because that's really what he did when you look at what he did. He asked God for change. He said, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Does that sound like change to anybody? I'm sick and tired of walking in poverty and haphazard, people telling me I hurt them. I'm sick and tired of being in pain. I'm sick and tired of being misused and being abused. Does that sound like change to anybody on this line? Anybody?
It sounds like change. It sounds like you were reaching out for change.
Yes, and why is it that we can't reach out for change? There are folks who are victims of their environments. They have been living in poverty for so long, they think it's okay. They've been living below their means and below their privilege for so long, they think that this is God's will for their life. My brother, my sister, whoever you are listening, the time for change has come. And Apostle Smith, you can back me up on this. We both know of a young lady who used to be a welfare mom, getting the government cheese and the welfare checks, the whole 20 yards. We're not going to call her name, but that young lady today cried out to the Lord and sought God's face for change. Today she's a millionaire.
Yeah.
And you know who I'm talking about. Today She is a millionaire. And I remember when she first came down to the radio station at WNHU, she came around 2012, 2013, somewhere in that neighborhood. And here it is, 2021. She's a millionaire and travels all over the country, has a book, and the book is about to be turned into a movie. Do not tell me that if you cry out unto the Lord, that God will not bring change. Come on, somebody. Now I'm stirred up. Talk to me. Don't wait for a turn. Just talk.
And the thing is, if you cry out to God with all your heart, he is willing to move upon your request. We spend too much time whining and complaining instead of giving our whole heart to God and say, God, this is where I'm at. I need you to do something about it. I need you to help me in this situation and make me better.
But let me ask you a question, Apostle. Let me ask you a question. We're going to ask God to do something with this situation and make me better. But a question I have is, are we willing, are we really willing to be stretched? And I asked that question last week. I know you weren't here, but I'm going to put that one out there to you. What is it in your life, sir, that you want God to stretch for you? And then are you willing to be stretched?
Well, I'm willing to be stretched, and I'm before God every day asking him to stretch my life of living for him, stretch my life of ministry for him, stretch the bounds of this church and the work that he has placed at my responsibility. I'm asking God to stretch me in every way. And then after I asked him to stretch me, I said, Lord, now give me a financial Boaz so I can get it done.
My. Now, I'm going to throw this out there because I did throw it out there last week, and I'm going to throw it out there again this week. In asking God to stretch you in those areas, do you believe that obstacles and circumstances, situations, conditions will come and try to entrap you, hold you in place, keep you from moving forward, put you to the place and point where you're ready to throw in the towel and holler, I quit? Is that a possibility?
Brother, it's not a possibility. It's a reality. It's a reality because, as I just said a few minutes ago, things can come at you. If I told y'all what I've been through in the last month, I'm not even going back 5, 6, 7 months ago. If I told y'all the things I've been faced with in the last month, it would sound like I'm getting ready to give my I'm out speech. But instead of saying I'm out, I said, Lord, I'm getting in even harder.
All right now.
I'm praying a little deeper. I'm pushing a little harder because I know there's something great beyond what's happening.
I hear you. My brother, ladies, don't go to sleep on me. Come on and jump in the conversation. I got to get y'all to, I need you to just jump in and be part of what's going on.
I just love to listen because I'm learning.
Don't try it. Every one of them. Don't even try it. Every last one. See, I'm not going to. They'll let you off the hook. I'm not letting you off the hook because
I'm not letting her off either because I want to ask the question.
Go ahead.
And she knows. She probably knows where I'm going.
Go ahead.
You're trying to tell me that there wasn't trials and tribulations about putting elation together that didn't drive you and sometimes say, what in the world am I doing? Let me get out of this and move on. All I need to do is just be saved. Let me leave this elation thing alone. I mean, have there ever been that moment where you said, Lord, what are you doing with me? I was just fine going to church, clapping my hands. But what is this thing that you keep pushing me to do? And it's bringing me into a place that I got more ridicule and more enemies now than I ever had.
Ostracism, criticism. Come on, talk to us, Dr. Robinson. Because I know elations isn't easy. You know, I don't know the whole story, but I know a good part of it. But I can't tell it like you can tell it.
Well, this was given to me back in 1994 when I went to Atlanta, Georgia.
What we're trying to do is we need to hear from you. And please forgive me for cutting you off. I want to make sure that we hear from you about what you went through to get it to this place. And I know we know it was God. God uses plain old ordinary people. He uses vessels to do his bidding. Story of the struggle, the trials, the triumphs. Was this a bed of ease? Did you just walk into it and came down?
Well,
come on
for
and
me,
talk to us.
Well, for me, it was just something that happened based on circumstances. I recently was ending my divorce, so I was a little bitter. So with that being said, then the magazine came about, and how I got it to this point is by his grace, because it's amazing how when you say yes, God will say yes too, but he gives you extra, you know, when you follow him, when you're obedient to him. And so basically every day is a day-by-day process, because my main goal is just to honor him, whatever he has called me to do. And so by doing that, I try my best to, you know, be a servant and also to bless those. And then it trickles down when we can bless each other. And so that is why it's important that you ask God for your purpose, because once he gives you your own purpose, it really don't feel like work. It really doesn't.
Okay. All right, I'm going to have to accept that answer. I'm looking for more from you because there's more to it. I recall a couple of businesses, and to just get started in those businesses, the idea and concept was given to me by God. But I, you know, and here it is. Now, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Watch this, y'all. Luke 6:38. Somebody tell me what it says. What does Luke 6:38 say? The sixth chapter and the 38th verse. Anybody,
so
doesn't matter.
There's something about seeking.
No, it's about giving, but I'm going to try not to tell the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you do have to seek. I agree with you.
It reads 6:38.
Uh-huh. What does it say? Come on, let me know what
give,
it says.
Give, and it will be given to you.
Oh, stop. Back up. What was that first word?
Give.
What was that first word? Give.
Give.
See,
mm-hmm.
The secret to our success is in our giving. Was willing to give up on the name that he had. Jabez was willing to do what it takes to make himself better or get in a better position. A lot of us don't want to give. We want to get, but we don't want to give. And this time I'm not talking about – go ahead.
You know what, Rich, you just made me think about something. When you put that out there with that. We
mm-hmm.
even in church, we sing that song, I give myself away. And
uh-huh.
We just got our hands in the air. But while our mouth is coming open, we really don't know what we're singing.
We don't have a clue. We do not have a clue.
To give ourselves away, that we are giving God away. older child.
Say that again. Say that again.
To give ourselves away means that we are giving God total charge. We're turning ourselves over to God, our business, our life, our family, our ministry, whatever
my
it is.
God.
I give myself away. I don't give myself to keep myself. I give myself away.
All right, now let's go back and tie these two together. The first word is give. What happens, Dr. Robinson, when you give?
What was the question?
Come on now.
It was going in and out. What was the question?
You're reading the scripture. What happens when you give?
The more you give, the more you receive. The Bible says that.
No, I want to hear the scripture. See, you're giving me.
Okay.
You're giving me something good, but hold on. You're giving me that something that was good, but I'm trying to get us to pinpoint why when you ask for it and then it starts coming and you start crying, there's a reason why it started coming, because you followed a biblical principle. You said give, the first word in that 38th verse of the 6th chapter of Luke. And then what happens when you give? That means you got to do something first. You want God to do something, but God is looking for you to do something first. What is he expecting you to do? And Apostle Smith just got finished singing that song. We sing that song, I give myself away. So what God's expecting us to do something. God's expecting us to give. And what's God going to do in return if we give? Go ahead, sis. Read that verse.
Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure.
Hold on. See, we read too fast. Stop. I don't want us to read fast anymore.
No.
I know what I'm saying.
This
is not you. Don't take it personal.
Okay.
Please, don't take it personal. Do not take this personal, because I'm not attacking you and I'm not going after you. I'm trying to get those who are listening to understand. Just because you know what the scripture says, don't start speeding through it, because the moment you start speeding through it, you miss the meat that's on the bone. So we're going back after the northern meat off, and it shall be given. Give, and it shall. Come on.
The scripture piece by piece.
Yes.
He's picking the piece.
Give, and it will be given to you.
Yes, if you give, it will be given. And it doesn't matter if it's time, doesn't matter if it's talent, doesn't matter if it's treasure. Whatever it is, give, and it shall be given. That's the King James Version. What version are you reading exactly? Is that the Amplified?
Yes.
Okay, no. I'm sorry. Apostle, let me back up. I'm going to need some help from you, because I think I'm intimidated. I don't want to intimidate my sister. I'm just trying to bring some truths to the light, because of I'm tired of watching the body of Christ struggle. I'm tired of watching us look like we live in hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck. It's time for us to get past that. This ain't about money tonight. You asked for that anointing. You asked for that elevation. You asked for that promotion. And now there's something you got to do to receive it. The first thing you're going to need to do is give,
mm-hmm.
that it may be given unto you. Now, how will it be given if you do it according to scripture? Go ahead and read.
They will
please.
Pour into your lap a good cool. measure.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Whoa. Who's they? The Rockefellers?
They. No, they is the
who's
givers.
They?
They is the givers. When you give, people give back to you.
All right, Pastor Henderson, you sitting there all like quiet as a church mouse. Come on and get in this conversation. I'm not looking for you to give me 15 paragraphs. I'm looking for you to just get in the conversation. Oh, they ain't going to like me after today, Jesus. They might not even come back on the show. Lord have mercy.
Amen. I want to add in there when Pastor Smith was singing that song, and the rest, and part of that song also says, my life is not my own. To you, I belong. And I think that when we recognize that our life doesn't belong to us, the Bible lets us know that we were bought with a price, and so
yes. We
don't belong to ourselves. And so when we begin to give ourselves back to God, the Bible, you started out with the verse in Romans 12, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so when we were talking in the beginning, we were talking about that seed that falls to the ground. And when that seed falls to the ground, the seed of God's word, and it begins to give birth. Well, it starts with the giving of ourselves away to the Lord. And then the intimacy process brings forth that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that seed, the seed can't bring forth anything unless it first has intimacy. And so the intimacy with God brings forth a life. And in that process, there is a travailing process that takes place, because we're now being transformed by his word. And so now the challenge or the process that we go through in the travailing process is letting go of ourselves, letting go of our understanding, letting go of the external side of our being, and connecting now with the spiritual side so that the seed of God's will come to pass. And that's that travailing process, being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. That transformed process is that challenge, and it's that travailing process. But at the end of that process, it brings forth a birth, a new birth, a change, and what you were saying. And so God is taking us through a process so that we can be that change that is desired from us, that the change of his word, the change of his will, the purpose, that we will manifest that change in the earth and in our lives. And so, but it comes through the process of being transformed. God doesn't want us to be conformed to this world and this world system, because we're not from him. Those who belong to him are not from him. Our citizenship is in heaven. So we have to change our mindset about the things we're seeing, the things we're hearing, the things we're feeling, the things that have been said to us about us, and all of that. We have to allow the transformation of his word to transform our minds so that we can produce the change that he's looking for in our life, so that now we can produce whatever it is God has called you to do. Now it can come forth, because now you have accepted it. Now the intimacy with him, now the change in the process is taking place. Now you can be that warrior. Now you can be that print in the center. Now you can go forth, as you were talking about the young lady who was in poverty, and now she's a multimillionaire. It started the process for her. It started somewhere, and she walked her way into that place. And so God is working on us to bring us into a destiny that he has for us. And it's his will that we must be in being good health, even as our soul prosper. He wants us to be ahead and not the tail, the bone only and not the knee. He wants us to be to his glory in everything. He's got to give you all things pertaining to life and godliness. God wants us blessed. He wants us blessed. And so
now,
when we come
to that
understanding,
Let me hold you there for a minute. I heard every word you just said, but now there's an audience out there listening. Maybe they don't know half of what you just said. Make it simple for those who might be babes in Christ. Make it simple for the unlearned. Make it simple for those who may be for the first time listening to something of this caliber. And I'm saying that because we tend to, you know, and then I've got to bring this up, because every time I get ready to go somewhere, this comes back to my remembrance. The late Bishop Walter Joyner used to have a phrase that simply said, feed the calves, the cows will get theirs. Mm-hmm. And I understand what that means. But, you know, everything you just said was beautiful for the Christian, for the believer. Yeah, we need everything you just said, everything you just shared. But to the non-believer, How do we get them to understand that they don't have to stay in the condition that they're in?
But
that
Rich,
like Jabez. Go ahead.
I want to add to that question that you're asking, because you said to the unbeliever, so I just want to add this, even the believer, what if they are in a ministry that's not teaching them how to go higher, how to reach for more, how to get that change that we're talking about? As much as he asked about the unbeliever, if the believer is somewhere where they're not being ignited to the next level, what do they do? So let's look at both sides of this question.
Equation.
What does the unbeliever do, and then what does the believer do if it's not really being pushed at a level where they can really receive change?
All right, now, so let's talk about that, y'all, for a minute. To the unbeliever who wants to change, they've been living something, you might as well say a raggedy life, a miserable life. They're tired. They're worn out. They're wounded. They're sad. They're hurt. They're angry. They're mentally unstable. Come on, one of you above. Let's start with you, Pastor Henderson.
Well, I'm reminded of the scripture that says, seek first ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first in everything that you do. Acknowledge him. I do believe that people who have had challenges, people that have come out of poverty-stricken situations, people that have had sicknesses and conditions and have just been downcast, that it does propel them, or it does stir something in them to desire more. And I think that you don't want to lose that hunger for more. You don't want to lose that hunger for change, because the Lord says that, you know, he has a good plan for people. He says that in his word that, you know, the plans I have for you are good and not evil, to give you a hope and a future. God so loved the world that he gave his life so that we may have life more abundantly. And when we give God our attention, and when we give God our life, we put him first and begin to see him with all of our heart and begin to love him, then God will begin to move on the request that you have before him. Because nobody wants to be sick. Nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to be disappointed. Nobody wants to be hurt. But when you change your desire, or when you begin to seek after the Lord and begin to be willing to surrender your hurt and your pain, and begin to recognize that he paid all of that on Calvary with his own blood so that you may have a different life. He came to be the change giver. He came to be the different maker in your life. So you have to accept him. You have to put him first and allow him to make the difference in your life. No matter where you are in your life, no matter how long you've been there, Jesus Christ is the difference maker. So when you receive him as your Lord and your Savior, you accept him, you come to him, and you yield your problems, you yield your life to him, then you give God space to come in and to begin in your life so that he can work his will in your life so that you can receive the benefits of what he did at Calvary. So his blood was shed for your peace. It was shed for your healing. It was shed for your deliverance. It was shed for your breakthrough. Whatever you need in life, the blood of Jesus paid it. He is the difference maker. He is the one that gets you over. He is the one that, when Jabez called on him, was the difference in his life. So when you want a difference to be made in your life, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things. And he said all the things will be added to you. And so when you begin to seek God, trust him and know that he wants to be the difference maker in your life.
All right. And that is to the unbeliever. Now, let's do the challenge on the believer. Because Apostle Smith makes a very valid point. There are folk who are in ministries. They're not growing. They're not going anywhere. They're the same. They go to church Sunday in, Sunday out, Tuesday or Wednesday in, Tuesday, Wednesday out, Friday night service. In other words, they come in one way and they go back out the same way. There is no growth. What do we tell those individuals? Talk to me. Oh, boy, listen to all this quiet. Okay, I'll handle that one then, since nobody's going to say anything. We tell them, get out.
I thought you asked Apostle Smith. I saw I was waiting on him.
No. I put it on the table for – go ahead.
I would say that you would grow in grace because there are times when someone who is new, they may not have a great teacher or a great direction. So basically, in my walk, what I come to realize is that when you seek after God by reading scriptures and you understand that this life is not your own, he will cause you some situations to occur that will give you a reason why his way is the only way. So as for me, I would say when I started to grow is when I realized that I needed him, because sometimes believers can get idle due to their company, due to who they hang with, due to the fact that, you know, they don't have a mentor. So the first step that I did was I got a mentor in Atlanta, and I went to a Bible-based Christian church. Right now, COVID-19 is different. And so now it's very challenging because, you know, this separation, this distance is really affecting a lot of people who don't know what to do. So I would say to them is you could get on really good Zoom calls, and you can find like a mentor and that you can talk to. And secondly, the number one thing you want to do is ask God for guidance, because when you talk to God, talking to God is based on your relationship. It's not how you see other people doing. It's a relationship that you have between you and your God. Talking to him daily can be in a car. Talking to him daily can be on your knees. Talking to him daily can just be, you know, a conversation. Get to know him by reading his word. His word tells you how to live, how to grow. I mean, Romans is a good chapter. The Proverbs, I love Proverbs. Matthews, one of my favorite scriptures that I tend to glean to is Proverbs. I believe that's 3:5-6. It says, "Lean not on your own understanding; in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." And so when we start to lean on him and not our own understanding, we will understand that we need him every day and every hour. And so when you understand that, you will want to know more, because it says that in order for you to please him, you have to diligently seek him. And seeking him is reading his word, talking to him, fasting. But how do I get there? How do I get there? You have to want to get there. No one can't force you. You have to want it. This life will get you to a situation where you get tired of getting sick and tired. You will get tired doing the same things. And you don't grow. You don't see a purpose. You get to the point where you're like, wow, what is wrong with me? I have all these things and I'm still not happy, because you're missing the God, the maker of humanity, the maker of this earth. You cannot live without the maker. It's like a car trying to start without a motor. We need him. So that's why I think some people don't grow.
Now, Apostle Smith, finally, yeah. I got two answers that I can work with.
Yeah. Let me make one more statement before you expand on that.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard it, and I'm coming from a personal experience. I have sat in services and heard pastors say, don't y'all be watching all that stuff on YouTube and listening to all these radio ministries and all that, because they don't teach what we teach. Well, I can combat with that, because really, you haven't taught me nothing, because I don't see no change.
All right. And see, I received
what you've been saying, but you have not yet ministered to the point where I can say it's causing change in my life. So if there are certain ministers you don't want them to listen at or watch on the TV, then why not be suggestive of some preachers who will minister into them?
Amen.
And help them
reach
where they need to go.
Well, let me throw this here. We've got just a couple of more minutes. Like I said, I've heard some beautiful words coming for the unbeliever as well as for the believer. And we know that the key word here is change. I want to throw one final thing on the fire for us to think about for next week. And going back to the scripture, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Then Jabez, it says, called upon the Lord. And what does it say after that? And he said, he called upon the Lord. In other words, he got in a position where God's ears were open and attentive to his cry. Anybody with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. What is it with us? And when I say us, I'm talking about the body of Christ in particular, at large and abroad. What is it with the body of Christ that we fail to call upon the Lord, but we'll give him a grocery list of our wills and won'ts and our do's and don'ts?
I think
does
one
that
thing
sense?
That is
Go ahead, sis. Don't stop.
I was going to say, when you think about change, you think about something has to die out, you know? And I think that's one of the challenges is dying out to stop. When a seed falls to the ground, it has to first die and go underground.
Ooh.
You know?
Say that
so
one more time.
We're not, I see that we are be willing to die out. We're going to see goes to the ground and
wait,
die.
Did
and
anybody else hear what I just heard? Hold on a minute, sis. Anybody else just hear what I just heard? I heard willing to die out. I'm going to hope that this is what she meant, and you correct me if I'm wrong. She just said in so many words, self has to die. There can be no more I.
Yes. That goes back to that song, life is not my own. So now I am who I am by the grace of God. So you have to be willing to die out. A lot of times people want change. They want God to do this. They want God to do that. But they're not willing to give anything up. They're not willing to surrender. They're not willing to repent. They're not willing to let go of those things that they want. They just want to keep adding, as you said, to their grocery list. But the closest thing what God is saying is that I want an intimate relationship with you. That means I need something from you. You know, I'm going to bless you, and I want to do this and that for you, but what are you going to do for me? And that's where that transform of the mind comes in, is that you got to be willing to walk away from sin. You got to be willing to put sin on the table. Everything that sin,
ooh,
whatever it is, whatever that is, put it on the table and walk away and say it's over. Goodbye. Adios.
Wow.
I'm now walking with Jesus. And most people don't want to do that.
You know what? I think she just put it all in a nutshell. I don't even need to add anything to that. Apostle, you think you need to add something?
One thing, I would just like, since she has it out, I would like Kim to read that scripture How did it amplify?
The Luke 6:38?
No, no.
Which one?
Tonight.
All right. Go to 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10, and do it from the Amplified version, if you can, Sister Kimmy Kim. I wish I had somebody who could read. I know you were stuck on Luke 6:38. We ain't forgot about it because it all ties in together. Every bit of it ties in together. Go ahead.
And it reads, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, but his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would indeed bless me and enlarge my border property, and that your hand would be with me, and you would keep me from evil, so that it does not hurt me. And God granted his request.
Keep me from
evil,
so that it does not hurt me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought that amplified would give us a different word for honor. But it didn't.
And,
no.
Yeah,
it didn't.
I know it doesn't.
It used the same. It was nothing different.
Yeah, but there was something I did discover. Keep me from evil, that it would not hurt me.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. He was tired of being called pain.
You go as long as.
Hello? I'm here.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Everyone is still here. Oh, my goodness, he dropped. Oh. Well, we'll wait for him, but, yeah. Okay, there he is.
You know what? I'm going to tell you honestly, you could tell when it gets good. Oh, my goodness. I got to tell my cell phone to stop dating Cece. You can no longer go out with Cece. Cece's cheap. Anyway, let's move on. We bless God for each and every one of you. I try not to be. We bless God for each and every one of you. We thank God for all that he is doing in each and every one of our lives. God has been so merciful and so kind to each and every one of us and has put us in a position where we can further. We're going to further investigate this, and we're going to go ahead and go and re-tap back into the, oh, that you would bless me indeed. And we're going to ask the question next week, what does it mean to be blessed indeed? We could answer it now. Some of us will give a one sentence, but no, I don't want no answers now. Think about it all week. Think about it. And then when we come back together, we'll talk about it. We do thank God for each and every one of you who are listening by way of social media, those who are listening by way of the other outlets, wherever you may be. We pray that you have gotten something out of this word. We pray that God has ministered to you through this word. We're getting ready to leave you. We're not going to be without you. What does that mean? Our heart's desire is to pray God's blessing upon you and look for the Lord to lead, guide, guard, govern, protect, and correct you as you move forward in the things that pertain to him. For the pastor's corner.
Oh, my goodness. His phone is really mad at him. Well, you have to close out Apostle until he comes back.
Well,
you not have to.
I pray you have been blessed and enjoyed this wonderful and insightful podcast on tonight. Amen. And we will not dare close without offering someone an opportunity to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. In simplistic What you need to do is admit, I am a sinner and need the help of God. Then you must believe that he died on Calvary, shedding of his blood. He's taking his blood and delivering you from the curse of Satan. And that not only he died and bled, but that he rose from the dead, declaring all power has been given unto him. Then the next thing is you must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says when you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe him in your heart, you shall be saved. And then there are other steps that you must take. You must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost. But let's look with part one tonight, your repentance and giving yourself to Jesus. Right now, say, Lord Jesus, here I am. My heart is open towards you. Lord God, clean me and remove sin from my life. I'm ready to live for you. Lord God, tonight, I give myself totally to you. And I say, be Lord of my life, over my life. I denounce Satan right now. He has no power over me anymore, because now I belong to you. And I thank you for being my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we see that, Ms. Elect. Are you back?
He's back now.
Yes,
yeah.
I am. I'm back. I was just letting you finish what you started. And I thank God for you guys stepping in the way you do. We bless God for you all. We look forward to seeing you. Dr. Robinson, please get that music ready. And as soon as I say good night and shalom, let it rip. Good night and shalom.
Shalom.
I don't hear no ripping.
I don't know how,
and
like the people that say,
I need your love.